flower farmers, are you looking to connect with florists who truly appreciate the beauty of locally grown blooms? And florists, do you wish you had access to fresh, high-quality flowers straight from the farm? Well, I have the perfect solution for you, farmers2florists.com. It is the ultimate marketplace designed to bring flower farmers and florists together in one easy platform. So as a farmer, you can showcase your seasonal availability, you can connect with florists, you can get your name out there, you get listed in the directory, and you can sell your flowers at premium prices without a middleman. And as a florist, you can get access to farm fresh, locally grown blooms that your customers will love. And these are going to be vetted farmers. These are going to be farmers that understand the quality that you need. And they're not going to just try to sell you 5 gallon buckets of whatever they have going on. So no more scrambling to find the perfect flowers last minute. I would love for you guys to check out the link in the episode notes. Get signed up. We are still offering a special, if it is available, the first 20 farmers to sign up for this platform get the setup fee waived, so you just have to pay the monthly premium. There is an entire episode explaining this, but go ahead, click the link, reach out to me if you have questions, and let me know what you need. Thanks. Welcome to Flower Farmer Forum, the podcast where growing and selling cut flowers isn't just a dream, it's a reality. With over 100,000 downloads, this is your go-to spot for everything you need to know about turning blooms into bucks. Whether you're looking for a little bit of extra cash or dreaming of scaling up to a full-fledged flower empire, we've got you covered. I'm your host, Liz Fidler, owner and operator of Sunny Mary Meadow Flower Farm in Minnesota. In just 5 years, I went from modest beginnings with $7,000 in sales to flourishing $200,000 operation, and I'm here to tell you it's absolutely possible. But remember, peddling perishable products requires careful planning and thoughtful intention. So let's roll up our sleeves and dive in. Ready to bloom and grow? Let's get started. Hello, and welcome back to another episode of the Flower Farmer Forum podcast. I'm your host, Liz Fidler-Mergen. And today I'm going to start out with a really, really big question. What kind of growth do we want in our rural communities? It's not a rhetorical question. It is the question that at the heart of today's episode, and honestly, the heart of how I live and work on my farm in Stearns County, because it's happening in real time everywhere. Stearns County, Minnesota is not only growing, but it is growing fast. And my farm is in a really unique spot. Stearns County is the highest grossing agricultural county in the entire state of Minnesota. We're not just producing food, we are driving this state's entire agricultural economy. And yet, we are also dealing with urban sprawl, commercial creep, and skyrocketing property values and taxes. So I live just outside of what most people would call town. And when my late husband and I bought this place, it felt more rural than it even feels now. And, you know, to be honest, what used to be pasture lands or cornfields just a few miles away in Sartell, Minnesota, it's now a commercial strip mall, a gas station, a coffee shop, and some of those are fantastic, but it does change things, and change is going to happen. Change is going to be inevitable. So I invite you to just remain curious. I'm not talking about my farm. I'm talking about the entire comprehensive plan for our county that was set out to address some of these problems, because I promise there is no easy solution, but we need to be mindful of how we are going to address these problems. And most farmers like me, I can't afford 800 acres. I cannot afford 300 acres. We could barely afford the 40 acres that we bought. So here's the question. How do we make a living on smaller plots of land? How do we keep that prime farmland from being paved over and turned into housing developments? And how do we build a rural economy that works for the people who are still trying to farm? And that is what today's episode is about. So I know a lot of you that are listening do not live in Stearns County, Minnesota, and that is okay. I promise this episode is still going to apply to you. So whether you live in rural Iowa or Northern California or upstate New York or somewhere just outside of a growing metro, this conversation matters because every rural community is facing the same core challenge. How do we balance growth with preservation? How do we build homes and businesses without bulldozing everything that makes a place special? How do we keep farmers farming, especially if they're not part of a giant operation?
And that is exactly what the Stearns County 2040 Comprehensive Plan is working to answer. And today we're going to really dig into some of the pillars of that, which would be the agricultural pillar of that plan and what it means for the future of rural life. Now, again, if you don't live in my county, that's okay. Even if you don't live in Minnesota, even if you don't live in the Midwest, I bet that your county is trying to follow something similar. So let's start with the actual goals that Stearns County has laid out for what they want the future to look like. And this is all coming straight from the website shapestearns.com. So go ahead, look it up. Please, please do not take my word for it. So they're trying to, really set the tone for what the county is trying to do. So number one is support agriculture as desirable land use for long term and facilitate the diversification of the county's ag economy. We're going to talk about why they want to do all these things, but the diversification of the economy. So, agritourism and flower farms. Utilize sustainable practices to protect prime farmland and water quality for future generations. Retain areas with highly valued agricultural land or economically viable animal ag operations. Strive for and support higher farm profitability and family farm stability. That is definitely the pillar that applies to my family. I'm going to get into it in a little bit, but my husband and I thought that farming as a verb, we bought the family farm. Our daughters are sixth generation farmers, but we really had accepted the fact that this was just going to be a hobby farm and we were going to be the first generation to not make a living off of it. And that's actually changed now. I entirely proved us wrong. And he is in heaven watching and going, oh my God, she did it. She actually did it. Like, I thought the family farm was going to end with us, and we were okay with that, just owning it and not farming it, even though that's not what we wanted, but we had accepted it. And now I've proven that wrong. And our daughters are going to grow up here making a living off farming. And then the last pillar is encourage city and county collaboration on animal agriculture near urban boundaries. So I know that is a bold list. I know that is a hopeful list, but it's also full of questions. Like, what counts as valuable farmland? And what does profitability really look like for family farms? And what kind of diversification actually works in 2025 and beyond? And why is this so important? So let me back you up. I want to tell you about how this played out in my own life. So when my late husband and I bought our property, we were living in town inside Sartell, which is a suburb about 5 miles away. And his dad said, I'm going to retire. The farm is for sale. Whether you buy it or someone else buys it, it's for sale. Well, at the time, I had just started grad school. This was not in our plan. We were so broke. We were newly married. Like, we were planning on cash flowing my grad school. And the problem is, we couldn't just buy the house and a few acres. We had to buy 40 acres because of zoning and ag preservation programs, which we understood and we were glad to do. But we had two appraisals done when we bought it because we wanted to buy it the right way. We didn't want any problems or confusion down the line. Now, granted, this is 2016 when we did this, or I think, where the purchase was made in 2016, the appraisal was done like that winter before. Property values everywhere have changed. Now, you could say that we got a deal because we didn't pay, whatever, but that was literally what it was appraised at that time and what we sold our house for in town. Has more than doubled. So, like, it's not our fault that we bought in 2016 and property values have gone up since then. Thank God we did, or we would not have been able to afford it. But Stearns County has zoning and ag preservation programs like Green Acres, and it's set up to encourage people to keep large parcels of land in agricultural production. And I totally understand that because the idea is once farmland is chopped up, sold off, we will not get it back. So, if this was hunked up into 5 acre pieces or 1 acre pieces, it's done. But at the same time, if you're a small farmer trying to get started and you need to start with 40 acre increments, it is a huge ask. Financially, logistically, it's not exactly beginner friendly. And yet, here we are. And we rent out a lot of the tillable land to one of our friends. He has, 20 acres of corn on it. We have about 10 acres of meadow that gets cut. And then we grow about 1 acre of production of cut flowers that we are making a fantastic living off of. If I'm being honest, it's taken work. It's taken value-added agriculture. We're not just selling those flowers wholesale. Those aren't contracted. I have to work my butt off to market them. But we have about a half an acre of peonies and a half an acre of other flowers. And we succession plant, so multiple crops per season on the same ground. And then we are in the process of building our third high tunnel, which is quite a bit bigger, to extend our season so that we can grow from early April to late November here in Minnesota. And you know what? That 1 acre, it feeds my family, it employs people in my community, and it contributes to our local economy. So don't tell me that small scale farming isn't farming. Now, one of the really important goals in this Stearns County Comprehensive Plan is to promote crop and product diversification. And this is the one that it gets me fired up in the best way. Now, remember, I grew up on a cow-calf operation in southwest Minnesota. Maybe you've heard of my brothers, the Weber brothers. We grew up showing cattle. They have, a bull sale every year. Truly, our life fluctuated. I mean, they were able to value add with show cattle, really market the heck out of their genetics and what they've changed and how they've done that. But when it was, the other steers that are going to the feedlot or getting sold as feeders, I mean, it just depended on what the market was. Nothing that we did for that set of cattle could really make a difference. It was so dependent on what the market was. Because the thing is, if the price of milk tanks and the price of corn tanks, and that's all that you're producing, you're a little bit screwed. But there are ways to add value to your product. So if you take milk and you turn it into cheese, and now you're selling cheese, or you turn your hops into beer, or your flowers and turn them into wedding flowers, or workshops, or YouPick activities, you are adding value. And this is called value-added agriculture. And it's a big part of what this plan is promoting. So it's not just about economics, it's about resilience. And you don't have to ride the market waves if you create multiple income streams from your crops. It's smart, it's sustainable, it's scalable. So let's also talk about agritourism, because this is where things can get, just a little bit controversial. So I run an agritourism business. People come here to pick bouquets, attend workshops, see the flower fields, attend small private events, and I've built a brand about that. And, my response to whether or not people think this is real farming, I grow crops, I steward the land, I educate the public, I keep 40 acres in agriculture through diversification, I create jobs, I pay taxes, and that is farming. And agritourism brings people into agriculture. It reconnects them to where their food and their flowers come from, and it brings in tourism dollars. It shares the tax burden and helps keep rural communities thriving. So, if you pull up the actual comprehensive plan, it talks about the county trying to support the Department of Agriculture by improving the efforts of agricultural producers through diversification to add value and lessen the risk and burden for the county's agricultural base. So, that means when farmers are growing traditional crops, there is so much risk with it depending on what the commodity, what the market is when you're farming that way. So it's evolving ways to get it in the hands directly of the consumer. And also, let's lessen the burden, that property tax that, that these farmers are taxed with all of the time. Like, let's try to lessen that burden. And so, what happens when a farm fails? If the farm fails, the land is sold, and it's not always sold to another farmer. It's sold to a developer, and then it's gone for good. So the Stearns County plan is built on five interconnected pillars: agriculture, living, business, connectivity, and nature. And agriculture is just the starting point. These pillars are connected. Farms are businesses. People live and raise families here. We need broadband. We need better roads. We care about water quality, soil health, open space. And agritourism is a value-added production and diversified farming to touch all five pillars. That's why it's not just about industry, but about building rural life that works. So I'm going to go back to that opening question. What kind of growth do we want? Because we are growing, and that's not up for debate. But do we want growth that bulldozes cornfields for warehouses? Do we want growth that prices out small farmers? Or do we want thoughtful growth and growth that supports small businesses, tourism, food systems, and generational farming? We have a chance to do this the right way, but we have to be intentional. So if you've made it this far, thank you so much. Clearly, you care, or you're at least curious. So I would encourage you to go straight to the website, shapesterns.com, and read the plan for yourself. You'll find maps, goals, community input, ways to get involved, talk to your township, speaking up when zoning issues come up, show your support for businesses and farms that are doing things a little bit differently and often scrutinized by the citizens against virtually everything. Because it is going to take all of us to shape this future. So if you are growing soybeans, pumpkins, peonies, milking cows, if you're doing it with purpose and protecting the land, you are farming, and we need more of that. So thank you so much for listening. As always, bloom and grow. My flower farm, Sunny Mary Meadow, is located just outside of St. Joe, Minnesota. And this podcast, the Flower Farmer Forum, can be found wherever you listen. Thank you so much.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of the Flower Farmer Forum. If you enjoyed today's show and want to dive deeper into the world of growing and selling cut flowers, be sure to check out our website. There you'll find every episode in written blog form, plus courses and one-to-one coaching options to help you on your flower farming journey. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram at Flower Farmer Forum and join our Facebook page to connect with other passionate listeners and flower enthusiasts. If you're local and want to see what we're up to, visit us at sunnymarymeadow.com or find us on Instagram and Facebook at Sunny Mary Meadow for my flower farm. We'd love your support. Please leave us a 5-star review and share this episode with a friend who might find it fantastic. Until next time, keep growing, keep blooming, and keep making your flower farm dreams a reality.
Flowers, flowers, we love flowers. Sunny Mary Meadow, they smell so good. sunnymarymeadow.com